Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. Quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Coming back from the Labatt Blue Studio, we are discussing a little bit more the Julian Fleming decision announced last Friday, going to Ohio State over Penn State, Georgia, Alabama, and a couple others, Clemson. And it brings an end to really a long saga. When you go back to the beginning of his recruitment, when you looked ahead to 2020, when you were in the 2018 cycle, Julian Fleming was going to be a defining part of Penn State's 2020 recruiting class. And he is still a defining part of Penn State's recruiting class, just not in the way that most of us had imagined he would be. It's a kid who was on campus again and again and again. He's located nearby at Southern Columbia. He had a good relationship with Penn State. But in the end, he mentioned that, you know, a couple uncertainties he had about Penn State, you know, the way they had used wide receivers, the way they didn't use Justin Shorter, and the way that they had cycled through a couple wide receiver coaches, which, by the way, stresses the importance of, you know, head coach getting assistant coaching hires right the first time. There's a lot of pressure, and a lot of times that's a defining point of your program, whether you can keep ascending when everything around you is changing. That's, by the way, Ohio State has been pretty masterful at doing that. Even now, as they transition from Urban Meyer to Ryan Day as their head coach, they're a lot more stable in a lot more ways than Penn State is. I think it's just a fact that Julian Fleming shared. So it just kind of is a good time to look at where Penn State has stood in some of these national recruitments, where Penn State has succeeded getting top kids that are in its recruiting footprint, and where it has fallen short. Julian Fleming, one of the biggest on the list there.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think the brutal thing for James Franklin is most people would agree that he's nailed every single hire he's had to make since coming to Penn State, except for this receiver. And it just, they were in such a bad spot because you could not pass up Jaylon Sider when he became available to coach your running backs. You couldn't say, oh, well,
yeah,
we hired this guy to coach our running backs. Sorry, one of the best recruiters in college football. We're just not going to take you. No, you had to take him. And you would be putting Corley in a bad spot if you just let him go to, you know, just go cast him off into the sunset. So they moved him to a position he had never coached or played before. And it was easy to rationalize at the time that could work out, because how hard can it be to just tell the guys, hey, go out there and catch the football just like you've done your whole life? But clearly there's a lot more to it. And yeah. Penn State and its fans learned that the hard way this past year. So you had to get Jaylon Sider, though. And I think that obviously the timing of how everything played out didn't work in Penn State's favor. It's not really something it was able to or could control. But, you know, when you don't have the opportunity to get your own guy, so to speak, it might leave you in a bad place at some point, and it left Penn State in a bad place this go around. And ultimately, it played a role in costing them the number one receiver in the country.
I think in a lot of recruitments, you know, Penn State can explain its way through this process to him, can say, you know, we got the right guy in now. He's going to be here for a long time. You look at what we've got, our history of doing this. You know, me, James Franklin at Vanderbilt, all the way through now at Penn State, we have produced a lot of NFL caliber wide receivers. We've produced a lot of numbers offensively. Just bear with, you know, be patient through that process. You're going to see it. I think that pitch can work with a lot of kids, but I think that's what highlights one of the big differences between recruiting, you know, a four-star and an elite five-star is this right here, is that he's thinking and looking at things at a different level. He is getting sincere and consistent and heavy interest from programs that have no issues whatsoever when it comes to his development as a player. And he had the luxury of really exploring every single one of those. And that's what makes these recruitments different. And that's the essence of this whole conversation is that, yeah, Penn State needs to not let top Pennsylvania talent walk away. But when it comes to, you know, five stars, it almost doesn't matter where they're located at. Right. If they're looking for what Julian Fleming was looking for, it doesn't matter if Penn State was literally in his backyard. He probably wouldn't have chosen Penn State at that point in time.
Right. Yeah, that's 100% the case. I mean, if Penn State was located, you know, in Southern Columbia, in Catawissa, it probably wouldn't make a difference because he clearly was looking for what Ohio State could provide and what he felt Penn State could not provide. So you make a good point, though. As long as you get your four and five stars, it doesn't really matter where they come from. But again, if you're going to lose one, you'd rather lose them to Clemson or Alabama or Georgia or somebody else you're not going to face at least once a year, if not, you know, but if not face them on the field once and then battle them for, you know, the chance to go to the Big Ten title game and or the college football playoff down the road. And that's what Penn State has done here with Julian Fleming. So, you know, when it comes down to it, Penn State has a couple of five-star guys still on the board that they're targeting, and it's possible that a couple of their class of 2020 commitments could rise to the five-star level. So it's not that they're completely without the opportunity or chance to land a five-star in a cycle. It's just going to be a little bit harder now. And again, you just saw one of your Big Ten's biggest rivals get a lot better.
I think it's fair to say that it shouldn't be this easy for Ohio State to come in and take a player like Julian Fleming. And I don't mean to make that a consistent trend, but it almost happened with Micah Parsons too.
Right.
You know, the last big time five-star from Penn State's backyard. So There's something to be said here about Penn State protecting its backyard. There's also something to be said, and I saw this brought up at some point in time relative to this conversation. James Franklin's words after losing to Ohio State, talking about Penn State not being an elite program. I think what he said was true, but I also think that those words can be manipulated and used against him in a recruitment like this. They probably have been. Mm-hmm. They probably were in Julian Fleming's case. Like, listen, your coach said it himself, or, you know, Penn State's coach said it himself, that they're not an elite program and that we are. You're an elite player. Are you going to a non-elite program, or do you want to go to an elite program that has accomplished X, Y, and Z? And that's I'm guessing, you know, James Franklin is very, very deliberate about what he says and why he says it. I'm not sure if that was a primed and prepared talking point, and I'm not sure that that's something that he doesn't want to take back.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, and how long can Penn State, you know, the problem is, again, Ohio State's won multiple, you know, Big Ten titles. They've been to the college football playoff. I know the results weren't necessarily great in every case, in instance, but they have a lot that they can sell at this point. And what's Penn State still selling, Dustin? It's still selling hope, not actual results. And that's a big part of the problem. And that's why when James Franklin made his great to elite comments, they came off so poorly to a lot of people, but they weren't necessarily wrong.
Right.
They just shouldn't have been shared in that forum in that way. That's really what it comes down to. If you want to tell the players in the locker room as a motivational thing that, you know, hey, guess what? You guys think you have it all figured out, but you're still not elite enough to close out a game against them. That's one thing. And, you know, if it was just contained in the locker room, that's, you know, that's one thing. But when you go out and tell the whole world, you know, after such an emotional game like that, that, hey, our players aren't good enough, there's going to be a lot of people upset about that and feel a certain way about it. And there's no doubt that that had a role in the transfer portal entries for Penn State, and that had a role in sort of how Penn State finished last season, which was not all that great, quite frankly. So, yeah, and then, you know, you get to the recruiting side of it, and coaches can, you just laid it out perfectly, probably better than Brian Hartline did, and that's, you really want to go play for them. They're still trying to become elite, and they, you know, freely admit that we are elite, so why would you even give them a second thought? And it almost becomes groupthink for, like, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. They can all say, hey, you know, if you're considering us five, you know, you can eliminate one of those schools right away because their coach didn't even put them in the same category as us. So that's where there's a lot of damage control that needed to be done, that still needs to be done, because it is just going to endlessly be used against Penn State until they can actually prove it on the field. And this is a probably as good a year as any to do that with the considerable amount of road trips they have. They have a pretty challenging schedule. I think it was ranked third. Someone told me, I think it may have been Bob, that they're ranked, the Aslan ranked it third, easiest schedule in the Big Ten. I don't know, man. It really depends on how
you're looking at that.
It's a tricky schedule.
I've gone down this road where we've ranked schedules, and this is a little bit of an aside, but
I'll sit.
What are you looking for? Are you looking for steady, consistent challenges, which is where these road games come in, or are you looking for just like top five opponents? You know, so you look at Penn State's schedule, you got two maybe top five opponents on it, and the rest of them are quote unquote, you know, winnable games. Or you're looking at like Iowa and Michigan State and some of these other teams that you're playing, and you're going on the road to play them, and looking at the consistent week 1 through 12 challenge of it. And that's where the category that Penn State falls into is that they're not, obviously they've got Michigan and Ohio State, but if you're looking at it in a more sort of simple way, their schedule isn't that deep in terms of elite.
No, I guess teams. I understand that. But
I don't have the answer there either.
Yeah.
Maybe the answer is you just don't rank schedules, but this is content season for a lot of people. And they're going to put that stuff out there. So let me get to, the point here with, you know, some of these guys who have left, and there's a couple quarterbacks on the list. Justin Fields is a good example. I just want to try to get to a place where we're able to explain and point to anything bigger why these kids are leaving. So I would say Justin Fields is on this list, not because he's a local kid, but obviously because you had him committed. You couldn't get to the finish line because he was so far away. He was from the state of Georgia, committed there. Now he's going to be teaming up with Julian Fleming at Ohio State. Micah Parsons falls right into that national recruitment thing where, yeah, he's right in your backyard, but he can legitimately go play anywhere, and they would all love to have him. So Penn State had a real threat there to lose him to somebody, Ohio State or Alabama or Georgia. Mark Webb and DeAndre Swift in the 2017 class are two that really stand out in this conversation. They're PA kids. They were going to be a package deal, which complicated things for Penn State. But now I think you're going to hear DeAndre Swift's name quite a bit in this type of conversation because he's set to have a pretty big year down at Georgia. Two other ones I have on the list, Brandon Wimbush in 2015 from the state of New Jersey, committed to Penn State before he really understood how wanted he was.
Mm-hmm.
And so Penn State was really never at the top of his list. Stanford jumped into the mix, then he went to Notre Dame. Now he's at UCF. And another interesting one in the Julian Fleming conversation is Kyle McCord from St. Joseph, who he's in the 2021 class. They're going to make this connection here. So there's a real chance here for that connection for McCord, for Andor, for Julian Fleming to really kind of make Penn State look a little foolish in the future.
Yeah, because Marvin.
Directly on the field.
Right, because Marvin Harrison Jr., the teammate of McCord down at St. Joseph's, probably going to Ohio State as well. Some services have Nolan Rucci as a top player in Pennsylvania, Warwick kid. He could go just about anywhere, man. He's as wide open as they get. So Penn State really has to have a good 2019 to get some of these things to fall into place.
I think that's just the bottom line. Bottom line, a good 2019 season, you can stabilize things. We're going to get into the 2019 season with our player profile series coming up after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.